And if you have any questions about the college, further questions, please feel free to stop in by the table afterwards. We'll be glad to help you in any way. And thank you for the opportunity to show that video tonight. Are you there in Psalm 119? I've been told that there's some kind of a athletic scrimmage or something going on tonight about 9 o'clock, and that would be the Game 7 of the NBA Finals for any of you that are wondering. And the guys in my tour group have threatened me within an inch of my life that if we don't get done in time to be able to watch at least the last half of Game 7, that they're leaving the group. And so so I told them I'll preach a short sermon tonight, so we're just going to go verse by verse through Psalm 119, and we're going to talk through, they're carnal, they are. They'd rather watch basketball than hear the Bible preach, bless their hearts, but I might too, I'm not sure. But anybody going to watch the game tonight? A couple of you, a few of you? Some of you raise your hand, your wife grabbed your arm, pull it back down. I know how it is. My wife's not here tonight, so I get to watch the game. I'm excited about that. But I'm not a huge basketball fan myself, but it's Game 7, so I thought, why not? We might as well watch it, right? Psalm 119, we're going to get into this in just a minute. I want to kind of give you a little story that goes along with it. Have I got this thing on right, brother? Okay. When I was in ninth grade, as a teenager, I grew up in Haines City, Florida, at the Landmark Baptist Church in Haines City, Florida. That was my home church. That's where I grew up. And when I was in ninth grade, we got a new youth pastor. Our youth pastor had gone off to pastor a church, and so our new youth pastor came in as a ninth grader. And I met your youth pastor here tonight. Where'd he go? He's out smoking behind the dumpster. Oh, there he is right there. Okay, I met your youth pastor, and I don't know how long you've been here, brother, but I remember when my new youth pastor came in as a ninth grader, and his name was Brother Brian, and he was a lay youth pastor. He was not full-time on staff, and so he drove a truck during the week, and he was our youth pastor. And I remember when one of the main things Brother Brian told us when he came in is that he encouraged us as teenagers to have a close relationship with God. He encouraged us as teenagers to not only have a close relationship with God, but to have a close relationship with God's Word. And he told us, he said, what you should do as a young person is you should pick a verse in the Bible that you would make your life verse. It would be the theme of your life. It would be a verse that challenges you, a verse that convicts you, a verse that you think about every day of your life that helps you and encourages you and challenges you to go on for God and do great things for Him. He also said, if you have a life verse, then someday if you ever sign somebody's Bible, you can have a verse to sign under your name when you sign their Bible. Well, I thought, man, I need one of those. And so I thought, I need a life verse. Now I'm a ninth grader. I was not a spiritual ninth grader. I was in church and in Christian school. I definitely wouldn't classify myself as a spiritual giant as a ninth grader. But I knew at this point I needed to have a life verse. So what do all good teenagers do when they need to have a life verse? They take their Bible, they put it on the table, and they let it fall open, right? Anybody did that? I don't recommend it. Well, mine fell open to the book of Psalms. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. Book of Psalms, it's the longest book in the Bible. By the way, this is a different sermon, but the longest book in the Bible, in the middle of the Bible, is a songbook. Isn't that interesting? I wonder what God thinks about music. I wonder how important music is in the kingdom of God. I got to sit and listen to the choir practice tonight, and what a blessing to hear people singing the praises of God and to get to sing old-fashioned hymns in church tonight. What a blessing. This morning we were in Brooklyn, New York, Pastor, and we didn't know it till we got there yesterday, but we were at the 6th Avenue Baptist Church. The 6th Avenue Baptist Church was pastored by a man named Robert Lowry. Robert Lowry had a church member in his church by the name of Fanny Crosby. Robert Lowry and Fanny Crosby attended that church and wrote most of their songs while attending that church. We got to play, I didn't, the guys played the pipe organ this morning that Robert Lowry and Fanny Crosby played, the actual organ that they played in the auditorium where songs like Nothing But the Blood of Jesus were first sung. It was pretty amazing this morning to get to be there and experience that. But I wonder how important music is to God. That's a whole nother sermon. We don't have time to get into that tonight because we have a basketball game to watch in a little while. But so my Bible fell open to the book of Psalms. And it opened to Psalm 119. Now, I knew as a teenager that Psalm 119 was the longest chapter in the Bible because that's the one you don't want to memorize because it's the longest one. So when you're picking chapters to memorize in Christian school, you don't pick Psalm 119, right? You pick like Psalm 150 that's got like three verses in it. That's the chapter. I memorized three chapters in the Bible, seven verses total, but I memorized three chapters, right? Well, my Bible fell open to Psalm 119, and I thought, well, this is very interesting, and I don't believe God works in coincidences. I think God does things on purpose, even in our stupidity sometimes. God does things on purpose. So my Bible fell open to the longest book of the Bible, the longest chapter of the Bible, and then I started reading through Psalm 119, and I realized something very interesting. The entire chapter of the longest chapter in the Bible and the longest book of the Bible is all about the Bible. All but, I think, two verses in all of Psalm 119, which is, 176 verses, all but, I think, two of them specifically mention God's Word in the verse. They call it thy word, thy precepts, thy laws, thy ways, thy statutes, thy judgments, thy testimonies, thy commandments, all these different ways that God's Word is referred to. So I thought, as a ninth grade boy, what a better place to get a life verse from the longest book of the Bible, the longest chapter in the Bible. It's all about the Bible, and it's almost exactly in the center of the Bible. So I thought, okay, I'm going to choose my verse from this chapter. So I started reading through it. Now, I didn't want to choose a life verse that anybody else had because I wanted it to be my verse. Now, this is my verse, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret tonight. I'm going to tell you which one's my verse, and you can't have it. Because this one's mine, so don't even think about it, okay? So I started reading through, and I came down to verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, I was in ninth grade, a young man, semi-spiritual young man. And I'm reading, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, I was having a spiritual moment in my life, and so this was encouraging to me. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then I got to verse 10, and this is where I stopped. And I've never read another verse in the Bible since I got to verse number 10. I'm just kidding. All right, y'all got to stay with me now. We got a game to watch tonight. Verse number 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Now as a ninth grade boy, that one just slapped me in the face. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. So I just want to preach a sermon to you tonight in just a few minutes we've got left together from that verse right there. Psalm 119:10. Father, bless us tonight. Help us as we study your word. Encourage us, challenge us, convict us to do bigger, better things for you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, when I was a kid, I played Little League baseball. Do we have any baseball players in here, guys? Any baseball fans? Anybody like to watch? How many of you ever seen a baseball in your life? Would you raise your hand? Okay, now I would imagine that you guys are probably Phillies fans here, right? No? What are you? Yankees, Mets, Orioles, Red Sox, mercy. I'm a Cubs fan. We got a couple Cubs fans back there. Okay, I just want to give you some news. The Cubs are the best team in baseball this year. I'm just reminding you of that, okay? Just remind you. You look out, Mets, because we're coming for you this year. Yes. But I remember as a kid playing Little League baseball in our city Little League there. And I remember I was not good at sports at all as a child. When I got into high school, I got a little better. And my body built up into this beautiful physique that I have tonight. But when I was just a kid in Little League, I didn't really care about baseball. I didn't really care about any sports at that point. I was in Little League for one reason and for one reason only. Milkshakes. Because after the game, anybody who played in the game, who had on their uniform, got to go to the local ice cream hamburger joint called Rack's and get a free milkshake. And that's all I cared about. I wanted the free milkshake. Vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry, or you could have them all mixed together. I like strawberry. So I'm in, you know, as a player on that baseball team, or as a uniform wearer on that baseball team, we had a rule in our city Little League that everybody had to play at least one inning. So I'd get my one inning in right field. And I'd be out there in right field, and I'd have my glove on, and I'd be ready to go, and I'd be standing there, and I'd be thinking, chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry. I didn't really care what was going on, because I knew at the end of the game, I was getting a milkshake. And it didn't matter to me. I was there. I was on that team. I was wearing a uniform, and everybody had to bat at least one time. And so I'd get up to the plate, and I stand there with the bat and the pitcher, and our coach always said, smile and wink at the pitcher. So I'd smile, give him a little wink, and I'm thinking, strawberry, chocolate, or vanilla, which one's it going to be? Or maybe all three. And I didn't care. I don't think I got a hit the whole season. But I know this. I got 14 free milkshakes because we played 14 games. And that's all I really cared about. I was there for the milkshakes. My heart was not in that game. My heart was not on that team. I was there for the milkshakes. I was in right field, but my heart was not in it. I was standing at the plate, but my heart was not in it. Now, later on, as I got in high school and I got more involved in sports, I became a little bit more athletic. And you know, now sports, I bleed Cubby Blue. Sports is a big deal to me today. And so this is a kind of a different world. But as a kid, my heart wasn't there. I was just on the team, going through the motions. I wasn't giving it everything I had. So as we think about this verse tonight, that very first phrase, with my whole heart. I don't know if you're taking notes. Some people like to take notes. Some people don't. Some people like to have an outline. It doesn't matter to me either way. But if you are, point number one is whole heart. Whole heart, David said. Not part of me. Not half of my heart. My whole heart. He didn't say, God, you can have all of me except. He didn't hold anything back. There was no part of him that he was keeping back for himself. He wasn't out there going through the motions. He said, with my whole heart, with everything I've got, with all of my energy, with all of my talents, with all of my abilities, with all of my strength, with all of my mind, with all of my hopes, my dreams, my fears, every part of me, you can have it all. He didn't hold anything back. He said, with my whole heart. Now, my son is 5 years old. I wish he was here tonight because this illustration would mean so much more to you if he were here and you could see him and experience him for yourself. My son is a little hyperactive 5-year-old. He gets that from his mother. No, actually, he gets that from me. I was hyperactive as a kid, and as you can tell, because I can't stand still, I'm still hyperactive as an adult. And how many of you have a hyperactive child? Don't raise your hand if your kid's in this room. How many of you have a hyperactive mom or dad, kids? Oh, yeah, come on, turn the tables. I remember as a kid, my mom used to say, Anthony, someday God is going to use you. But until he does, take this pill. And you know, that's what it's like with my 5-year-old. He's wild. He's out of control. But Michael, when he gets in our bus, last summer we were out west. Our tour group traveled west last summer. And Michael gets car sick. That's a good time, traveling in a bus across the Rocky Mountains with somebody who gets car sick. And Zane was there. He'll remember this story. It was a Sunday afternoon. No, it was a Saturday afternoon. And we were driving from Denver, Colorado to Rangeley, Colorado. You say, I've never heard of Rangeley, Colorado. The only people that have heard of Rangeley, Colorado are the people that live there because it's literally in the middle of nowhere and windy, curvy mountain roads going through there. And we were coming over the Rocky Mountains and we stopped in a town called Vail. You've probably heard of that. It's a very famous skiing town. It's about 11,000 feet above sea level. We stopped at Vail to get lunch. So we got the highly nutritious tour group lunch at McDonald's. And so we got Michael what he always gets, a 4-piece chicken nugget Happy Meal with French fries, apple slices, and an apple juice. And it's all good. We get back in the bus and we're driving down the road. And it was probably an hour after we stopped for lunch. And I'm driving, everything's good. And you hear these words, Dad, I'm going to be sick. Before you can even react, there's chicken nuggets and French fries flying all over the inside of the bus. You know, when he gets sick, it just is all coming. And I don't know if you're the type of person that gets sick. I hope not, because you're going to get sick here while I'm telling this illustration. But, you know, when I get sick, I don't throw up very often, but when I do, I am all in. I'm not holding anything back. When I'm puking, there's no selfies going on. I'm not tweeting anything, hashtag puke face, nothing like that's going on. When I'm puking, I am all in. I would not be surprised if I saw my shoes coming out of my mouth. I'm just into it. You know, and you're just exhausted because every bit of your body is involved in that operation of puking. You're not thinking about anything else. You're not thinking about, what does my hair look like? Is my mascara running? Why are my shoes shining? You're not worried about anything. All you're worried about is getting through this. And then when you get done, if you're like me, you're exhausted. And I start talking to the toilet bowl. Lean your head on the side, dear toilet bowl. Thank you for always being cool on the side. You know, and you're just like totally wiped out, because every part of your body is involved in that. You're not holding anything back. You're not worried about anything else. Your whole self is involved in that puke. And while it's a crude illustration, David said, with my whole heart, I'm not worried about anything else. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what kind of car I drive. I don't care what my friends think. I don't care what my family thinks. I don't care what I feel like. I'm not worried about how many likes or follows or friends. All I'm worried about is giving you my whole heart, oh God. He didn't hold anything back. Point number one, whole heart. Point number two, have I sought thee? Whole heart, seek God. Not my will, but thine be done. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We live in the I generation, don't we? It's all about me. It's all about what makes me happy. It's all about what makes me comfortable. How many likes can I get on this post? How many friends can I get following me? We have iPhones, iPads, iPods, I this, I that, iTunes, I everything. How many of you have an iPhone in here? Be honest. Raise your Zane, you got your iPhone? Let me see that thing. I'm convinced. Now, I'm not going to preach against iPhones just for a minute. Pastor, do you have an iPhone? Good. Are you Android? Yeah, see? This is a man of God right here. How many Android people do we have in here? Yes! We will be part of the 144,000 that are saved in the end. The rest of you Apple users, the Antichrist is coming through this thing right here. I'm convinced of it. Have you ever noticed? Look at that logo on the back. What is that? That's an apple with a bite taken out of it. Remind you of anything? Yeah. And they're trying to get you to take the other bite. I'm just kidding. Kind of, just a little bit. But we live in the generation, the world, that it's all about me. It's all about what makes me happy. It's all about what makes me comfortable. It's all about what can I get for myself. How nice of a car can I drive? How much money can I make? How big of a house can I live in? How much, where can I go? What can I do? What makes me happy? What makes me comfortable? What's going to get me the most attention? David said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Not me, but thee. Not my will, but thine be done. Whole heart, seek God. Point number three, and I'll be done. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Whole heart, seek God, don't wander. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Last summer we were at the Grand Canyon. And you ever been to the Grand Canyon? It's beautiful. I highly recommend it if you're ever out there. If you're not out there, I don't recommend it. It'll get there. Don't worry. We were at the Grand Canyon last summer at sunset, and my kids were with me, and my five-year-old, bless his heart. You know, you can say anything you want about anybody as long as you say, bless their heart. He's the ugliest guy I've ever seen in my life, bless his heart. My son, I really wish he was here. You'd love him. By now, he'd have probably ripped something down from the walls or preaching revival in the nursery or something. But we were at the Grand Canyon, and you know, when you go to the Grand Canyon, there's lots of places that are tourist places, you know, that have railings that keep you from falling over the edge. The Grand Canyon is not one of those places. The Grand Canyon, quite literally, in many places, now some spots they do have fences, but in most areas of the Grand Canyon, it's just the edge and death. I mean, it really is. And I was there with a tour group a few years ago, and one of the guys in the tour group wearing dress shoes similar to what I'm wearing tonight, he's up there with his toes hanging over the edge, and I'm back there having a heart attack. I got to call this guy's dad and say, I'm sorry, but your son just fell off the Grand Canyon. And, you know, my son, my five-year-old, he wants to get as close to the edge as he can. And I'm holding on to his wrist, not his hand, I don't want him to be able to let go. I'm holding on to his wrist as tight as I can, and I'm pulling him back away from the edge, and he's pulling away from me, trying to get as close to the edge as he can, and I just keep trying to tell Michael, stand right here next to Dad, stand right here next to Dad, and you'll be okay. But Dad, I can't even see the Grand Canyon. That's okay. You won't fall over the edge. Just stay over here. He's prone to wander, prone to push the limits, prone to get as close to the edge before destruction as he can, and the father's back here trying to pull him back and keep him safe, but we're trying to pull away. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Boy, the safest place to be is holding Daddy's hand, walking by his side. But we're so prone to wander. We have a rule. When I'm walking with my son, walking across a street or a parking lot, he holds my hand. Well, now he's 5 years old. He's going to be six in a couple days. He's getting too big for that. So he wants to pull his hand away and step out and into traffic, and I try to grab him and pull him back. He's prone to wander. I don't know about you tonight, but sometimes we get distracted, don't we? Man, there's so many distractions out there for us today. We were in Brooklyn this morning, so last night we did a little tour of Manhattan with one of the fellows in the church, and we didn't know it going in, but this week is Pride Week in New York City. Started today. How ironic that would start on Father's Day, right? But, you know, as we're down there and the place is just massive people and all sorts of things going on and all the lights and signs and pictures and things flashing everywhere, it's just distractions. Sit in the hotel lobby at Holiday Inn this morning eating some biscuits and gravy and drinking a cup of coffee, and the Fox News is on, and distractions. This ticker thing going across the bottom, and this picture up in this corner, and the person talking, and another picture in this corner, and it's just one thing after another, trying to steal our attention, trying to pull us away from what we're doing, and I'm just trying to eat my breakfast. I don't know about you, but when I sit down to read my Bible sometimes, all of a sudden a thought will pop into my head. And when I'm trying to read my Bible, all of a sudden I find myself thinking about something totally unrelated. Distractions. Wanderings. When I'm praying, that's the hardest thing for me. I have to have set specific times I pray, and things, specific things I'm doing while I'm doing that, so I don't get distracted, because the devil will just push that stuff in. A noise, a sound, a siren, a cell phone ring, a knock on the door that interrupts you and distracts us. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart. Seal it. Seal it for thy thrones of courts above. With your whole heart, seek God. Don't wander. You know, we live in the day and age where if we as Christians don't do something, if we as Christians don't take a stand, nobody else will. I don't know if you've heard about this revival going on in North Carolina right now. A little church in Burlington, North Carolina, 5 weeks ago, started a revival meeting. I think today they started their sixth week. They started meeting in their auditorium. They outgrew the auditorium, so they set up a tent. They outgrew their tent, so they set up a bigger tent. Last night they had 5,000 people there. 75 people got saved just last night alone. They're now in their sixth week of this old-fashioned revival. In the state of North Carolina, the state that took a stand and said no to transgender bathrooms, and said no to the federal government's mandates, and said no to the gun control laws, and said no to the ridiculous, wicked, heathen things that are trying to be shoved down our throat. They said no. They said no. And now the Lord has blessed them with a revival like the likes of which we haven't seen in decades in our country. I wonder if there's any correlation there. We get so distracted. It's so easy to take our focus off of God and put it on us, put it on the world's problems, and put it on our political election. I mean, I don't preach political sermons, but it's just mind-boggling to me the three choices we have, or two choices now, that we're having to choose between in this election. It's just unbelievable to me. You think the devil doesn't know what he's doing? Distractions. Whole heart. Seek God. Don't wander. Our country needs us. Our churches need us. Our children need us. The next generation needs us. Your pastor needs you. Your community needs you. Your city, your county needs you. The lost need us. Because ultimately, that's what it's all about. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Everything he did was for that purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. Whole heart, seek God, don't wander. Would you stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and eyes closed? I'll ask one of the gentlemen to go to the piano. Zane, just play quietly. I've decided to follow Jesus, and I'll be done in just a moment. I'll just say a word, have a word of prayer, and I'll ask you tonight, what's your focus on tonight? Is your focus on you, your life, or is your focus on Him, on His will, on His plan? Is your focus on what can I get, what can make me happy, what can give me a secure future? Or is your focus on Jesus Christ and getting the gospel to one more soul? Whole heart, hold nothing back. Seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and don't wander. Maybe you've wandered away. You've changed your focus. You've changed your identity. You've changed your emphasis. Don't wander. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Father, we ask your blessing on this time of invitation. Help us as Christians to stay close to you, to keep our focus on you, with our whole heart to seek you and don't wander. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's take a few moments and pray. We're going to be putting that song up on the slideshow. I have decided to follow Jesus. Make that decision tonight. Maybe you're here tonight as we're praying. You're not sure you're saved. Why don't you come right now? There's no one looking around. No one's going to make fun of you. The angels of heaven will rejoice if you receive Christ as your Savior. And you say, I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus tonight. And I need to be saved. Why don't you come? Will you take the Word of God and show you how to trust Christ as your Savior? Let's sing that song out. I have decided, words on the screen.